بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. As last week we had discussed some of the very pertinent words of wisdom from Sayyidina Luqman رضي الله تعالى عنه, an extension of his great words of wisdom and pertinent to the occasion that we find ourselves in today, is that he advises his son to sit with the utmost humility and respect at the feet of the learned, pious scholars and ulama. For he says, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings alive dead hearts by means of their words of wisdom, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings alive a dead tract and piece of land by means of beneficial rains. So we are extremely fortunate to have in our midst today a very renowned and respected personality, Zat Mufti Zubair Bayyad Saab, Hafidhahullahu wa Ra'ah, a very famous alim within our country, based at present in KZN. Mufti Zubair Bayyad is among the very early graduates of Darul Ulum in Azadville. Thereafter furthered his studies in the great institution Darul Ulum Dioband and spent time in Karachi as well. Has been very prominent in being the founder as well as the head of the institution Darul Ihsan Center based in Durban. We all would be very familiar with the great work that is being done by Darul Ihsan over and above the iftar department, counseling, education. Mufti Saab personally has a program on Radio Islam on Monday mornings, Basic Fiqh, and on Tuesday nights, very, very famous program between 8 and 10 Q&A pertaining to various masail, question and answers. Mufti Saab, with all of these great services, continues to tender advices and guidance. He's a Khalifa of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Saab, Dawan Barakatuhum. And I know Mufti Saab would not like me saying this, but just this morning in discussion with a colleague, I think with all of these services, the crowning jewel is the humility. You know, recently the Ijtima that had taken place last week in Lodium, Mufti Saab, while visiting there, had the humility. I've heard this personally from those who were involved in the khidma of cooking, went into the cooking tent and personally shook hands and made salam with every one of those who were involved in rendering the service in the khidma of cooking. Inshallah, we request Mufti Saab to render his advices. Amongst the services being rendered by Darul Ihsan is that on a monthly basis, 45,000 sandwiches are distributed to more than 50 schools. 45,000 sandwiches being distributed to more than 50 schools of the needy and underprivileged areas. And together with that, more than 20,000 biscuit packs are delivered to approximately 27 clinics on a monthly basis. Inshallah, with these great services, we can understand the ruhaniyat, the spirituality that comes with it. Therefore, we listen attentively to the advice to be rendered by our honorable guest, Mufti Zubair Bayyad Saab. We also say a warm welcome to those who are listening in on Radio Islam to this live broadcast, as well as on live streaming. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في رواية مروية عن عبد الله بن سلام رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال يا أيها الناس أفشوا السلام واطموا الطعام وصلوا الأرحام وصلوا بالليل والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد Honorable Ulama, respected elders, brothers, sisters and the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to take us back into a very, very decisive moment in the history of Islam. This was perhaps one of the most important occasions in the history of Islam and even in the seerah of our beloved master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a moment that will forever be recorded in the annals of history, and that is that moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam a safe exit from the oppressive society of Makkah and a glorious entry into the city of Medina, where he established the first Islamic republic, the first Islamic state in the history of the world was established in Madinatul Munawwara. Now, I would like to zone in or hone in on to that particular moment when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has completed the historic and epic and arduous journey of the Hijrah, and he is now entering in Medina, and the multitudes of the people of Medina, men, women and children, who have been anticipating with great excitement the entry of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam into their city. For indeed the people of Medina say that before his arrival the city was dark, and when he arrived it then assumed the name of not just being Medina, but it became known from that point in time as Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the Medina that was illuminated and the Medina that was lit up. It was upon the arrival of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the city was illuminated and it became known as the city of light. And on his demise, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the close attendant and associate and companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says that hardly had we completed the burial of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we already felt a sense of darkness cover Medina once more, because that brilliant light that used to shine was no more in this holy city. So let's focus on that particular moment. The people are waiting excitedly the arrival of this great moment that they have been awaiting for so long and anticipating from so many months. The talk of the arrival of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the lips of every person of Medina, but of course he would not have left Makkah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him the express permission to do so. And we know that no single movement of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no single utterance, no single word, no single silence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of his own accord. Every bit of it was direct inspiration and direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has categorically stated in the Holy Quran that وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, he does not speak of his own accord, of his own whim. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى, every utterance of his is a wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we say we have two forms of revelation. The one is the revelation that is recited, wahi al-matlu, the Holy Quran. And the other form of revelation is wahi ghair matlu, that is the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are both categories of wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. So nevertheless, my dear friends, that moment now, we can imagine the excitement in the people. If let us transport ourselves back into history and imagine if we were amongst that group of people who are eagerly awaiting this moment, what excitement there would be. This is the time when those little girls sang that very renowned qasida upon the arrival of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the qasida Tala'a al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada'i, and so forth. Now, amongst those people who was present at that time when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his grand arrival in the city of Medina, was a person who at that time was not yet a mu'min, he was not yet a believer. And this is the very person who later on, of course, accepted Islam and he became amongst the leading companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was amongst those people who were eagerly anticipating the arrival of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. And he says that when the Nabi of Allah arrived, of course there was great excitement, there was this celebration, and these young girls were welcoming him with the welcoming song and so forth, and all the people were rushing forward to embrace him and to meet him. For many of them it was the very first time they set eyes on his noble countenance. For many of them it was the very first time they had the opportunity of shaking hands with him and of embracing him. And this is that personality whom they had been hearing about for so long. So this person who narrates this hadith, he is known as Abu Yusuf. His laqab or his title is Abu Yusuf, his kunya, and his actual name is Abdullah bin Salam. He is the person who's actually narrating and capturing this scenario of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's very first moment of arrival in the city of Medina. This person, Abdullah bin Salam, just a little background about him in the limited time that we have, he is a rabbi, a Jewish scholar of the Torah. He was extremely learned in the Torah and he was highly respected in the Jewish community of Medina, and he had read about all the signs of the last and final messenger in the previous scriptures, and he had come out to ascertain what was this person who claimed to be the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is he a true claimant or is he amongst the many scores of false claimants of prophethood? He came to ascertain. He was in a state of doubt. He was not absolutely sure. He wanted to ascertain for himself whether the signs that were mentioned and the predictions that were made in the previous scriptures, were these to be found in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gives his own experience and he says, the moment I made eye contact with him and the moment my eyes beheld his noble countenance, I didn't need to see anything more. My heart testified from inside that this is not the face of a false person. This is the face of the true messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And already the seed of iman was planted, and very shortly thereafter, very openly and boldly, he declared his shahada and he reverted to Deenul Islam. And he didn't do it secretly, but in fact he called for all his people to be witness to the fact that he accepted Islam. In fact, it's very interesting how he went about it. He hid behind a curtain and he requested Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before that to invite the Jewish people, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked to pose a question to them regarding Abdullah bin Salam. And at that time they said, you know, this is a very, very learned and respected scholar in our midst, and his father was very learned and respected and so forth. When they testified to his integrity and credibility, that is the time when Abdullah bin Salam emerged from behind the curtain, and in front of his entire nation, he declared the shahada and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Hoping that perhaps these very same people that said few minutes before that this is a leader and a respected person in our midst, they would perhaps be inspired and influenced by his example of accepting the shahada, and they themselves would then take the shahada. But unfortunately, they were so smitten with arrogance and pride and with jealousy and bias and prejudice against the true messenger, that the very same people who 2 minutes before said this is a very respected person in our midst, these are the very same people then turned around on him and said, this is the worst amongst our people, and his father was also the worst amongst our people. So nevertheless, my dear friends, Abdullah bin Salam is the narrator of this narration, and he says that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in the holy city of Medina, then he made his maiden speech or his inauguration speech. Now we know when presidents of the world are appointed in various countries, then the whole world focuses, the whole media of the world focuses on the inauguration speech. We know in our own country when a president is newly appointed, everyone eagerly listens to every word that he utters, and lots of political commentary is made on every single utterance that he makes, because people then sort of try to understand in the light of the speech that he made what type of leader is going to be, what type of leadership is going to provide, what is going to be the priorities in his presidency and so forth. You gain all of that in the inauguration speech. So we can imagine what must have been the inaugural speech of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the very first speech that he made when he entered the city of Medina. Can we imagine how important the speech must be? And how every single word carries so much of importance and weight, in that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that very speech that he made, he set the foundations of a united Medina of the future. A society, a community that would be so closely knit, that would be so united, and that will work in cohesion, and that would work for the upliftment of the society, and that would be a model society and a role model for the societies of the world. That was the inauguration speech of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the communities around the world to emulate that role model and to follow those guidelines that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made in his inauguration speech, so that inshallah we can also see the very same benefits and fruits that were witnessed by the early Medinan society of the time of our beloved master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, and especially my dear friends, new communities, new societies, if they set the foundation right from the word go, inshallah, for generations to come, the foundation would have been set correctly in the beginning. For generations to come, that unity and that brotherhood will remain in those communities. It gives me great pleasure, and I'm really honored and privileged to be here in the Greenside community this Jum'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your community grow from strength to strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this community a role model for the communities around our country and indeed around the world. And inshallah, a new community like this, if we can sort of imbibe and adopt these principles that were set out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow it, inshallah, there is no reason why this community cannot become a role model community, inshallah, for the communities around our country and around the world. Now, as I say, with the very limited time that we have at Jum'ah, it is really not possible to do justice to any topic that you touch at Jum'ah. But with the limited time that I have, I would like to just touch very briefly on this inauguration speech of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a very short, concise speech. And this was one of the hallmarks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him the ability of capturing oceans of wisdom and knowledge in just a few words. Like they say in Urdu or in Persian, that Samandar Bakuza, it was an ocean that was in a cup. It was encapsulated in a few words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him utitu jawami al-kalim. Allah had granted him the ability of brevity and conciseness of speech, that in very few words he could convey volumes of meaning. And so, my dear friends, let's focus on each one of the sentences, just a few sentences that he uttered. He said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam wa at'imu ta'am wa silu al-arham wa sallu bil-layl wa nasu niyam tadkhulu al-jannata bi-salam. These are such beautiful words, and you can see a kind of a poetic rhythm in these words. My dear brothers, my appeal to you today is, if you can take the trouble of memorizing these words, learning these words, memorizing, alhamdulillah, you are fortunate to have in your midst young, dynamic ulama who are ever willing to teach and impart to the community. I would say appeal to them that after every salah, if they teach you even one phrase of this speech, and we could learn it, every one of us, and teach it to our families and teach it to our children, inshallah al-aziz, this will be a very wonderful guideline for us in building the community and developing the unity of the community. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam. Spread the salam. Make the salam common amongst you. My dear friends, sometimes, Allah forgive us, we tend to take lightly and insignificantly things that may be very simple in life. But it's actually these things that really make a person or break a person. The salam, we tend to take it very lightly, we tend to treat it very insignificantly. We don't seem to understand the impact and the power that a salam has got in it. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, Wallahi lan tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu wa lan tu'minu hatta tahabbu. Awala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumu tahabbtum afshu salama baynakum. He said, by Allah, you will never enter into Jannah and Paradise until you do not strengthen and bolster your iman. That is the first requirement. Now the question is, how do we strengthen our iman? Awala adullukum ala until your iman will not be strengthened until you do not develop love for one another and you do not become unified. If there's going to be divisions in your midst and there's going to be animosity and hatred amongst you, your iman will not be strong. And how will that unity and that brotherhood be developed amongst you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a very simple, easy formula. That is why they say, Ad-deenu yusrun, Islam, deen is easy. Islam is for all people all around the world, for every era, every milieu, and every century, and every corner of the world, no matter what kind of society, highly sophisticated or very rural, Islam is for one and all. And Islam is easy. The teachings of Islam are simple, but it is in the ease and the simplicity that the effectiveness is there. Today we may hold huge seminars and conferences to speak about importance of unity and strategizing and thinking of ways and means to foster and develop unity in the community and the ummah and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a simple formula. He said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوا تَحَابَبْتُمْ. O people, shall I not show you something that if you adopt it, love and unity will be generated in your hearts? أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Make the practice of salam common amongst you. Unfortunately, my dear friends, what do we find? There are 5 blatant errors in our community with regards to salam, but I don't think the time is going to allow me to go into that. One of those mistakes and errors I will hone into on this occasion is that we have a tendency to only make salam to those whom we recognize or we know. Those who we don't know, yet the person is reading salah next to me in the same masjid. He may be from a different race group. He may be from a different nationality. Because I don't know him, I'm reluctant to offer salam to him. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salamu ala man arafka wa man lam ta'rif. Salam is to be made to those whom you recognize and those whom you don't recognize. As long as you know this is a Muslim brother, you have to offer the salam unto him. My dear friends, let me just quickly go on to the second point. The second point Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَطْئِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Make it your practice of feeding the people. Maulana mentioned, alhamdulillah, about the little work that we are doing. This type of work, alhamdulillah, is taking place in various parts of our country. Here, I was just reading the Ar-Rashid, the official organ of the Jamiat Ulama of South Africa, and alhamdulillah, I was very pleased to note that they also have some feeding schemes that are running in various parts. What I say is that every masjid should become a welfare center. Every masjid should be a place where the community, the poor of the community, feel welcome. Soup kitchens, sandwich schemes, little feeding schemes and so forth could be run from every masjid. The masjid is not supposed to be a white elephant. The masjid is not supposed to be a monument that is locked after every salah and unlocked before every salah, and the rest of the time it just stands empty. The masjid should be a hub of social and community activities. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make green sign, inshallah, this masjid, one of those first masajid that will set, inshallah, this role and that will set this trend in our country, that all kinds of services are rendered from the masjid complex and around the masjid. In conclusion, my dear friends, many of us come from Indian origin. Our forefathers, great grandfathers, grandfathers and so forth emanated from there. We ask a question: how did Islam spread in the Hindu community? Because originally the religion of India was Hinduism. And in all possibility, our great-great-grandfathers and predecessors had perhaps been from the Hindu faith. How did they come into Islam? What was the strategy that was used to win them into Islam? It was again this very feeding of the poor. Great-great awliya Allah and great personalities of Islam traversed the length and breadth of India. And what they simply did was they fed the poor, and they reached out to the people, and they put on bags of food. Particularly prominent in this was a great wali of Allah who is known as Gharib Nawaz by his title. Gharib Nawaz means the patron of the poor. Khaja Muinuddin Chishti rahmatullah alayh from Ajmer Sharif, the great renowned saint of his time. It is said regarding him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used him, and he was instrumental for the hidayat of 9 million people in India. Not 90 people or 90,000 or 900,000, 9 million people accepted Islam on the hands of one single individual, and he used to go from town to town and village to village feeding the people, and through that he won their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these opportunities in our country. We have resources, we have abundance. Instead of squandering it and wasting it in extravagant functions and weddings and so forth, let us reuse these resources constructively, beneficially, and inshallah through this we can become the means of attracting many, many people to Deenul Islam. Unfortunately, time does not allow me to say anything further. Maulana's request that I just inshallah try to round up again just the two more points that were mentioned in this hadith. One is silul arham, joint ties. Let us become familiar with one another. Joint family ties, that's one aspect. Today, unfortunately, it's become such that we don't even keep ties with the family. Our children, unfortunately, do not even know who are the relatives in the family. You ask them, they'll say, yeah, he's some uncle or some cousin or something. They don't even know the extent of relationship, and perhaps the relationship is very close. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعَلَّمُوا مِنْ أَنْسَابِكُمْ كَيْ تَصِلُونَ بِهِ أَرْحَامَكُمْ. Know your relatives, know your, like they say, connections, so that you can maintain the connection between the connections and the relatives. This is a terminology the Durbanites normally use, the connection. And, you know, they talk about the better connection. The better connection is not the cell phone connection or some company. The better connection is that connection or that relative who keeps a relationship. That's the better connection. So next time you see that billboard that says the better connection, think about yourself and say, inshallah, I would like to be the better connection. In that I try and keep family ties and relations. My dear friends, not only that, but the connection between the community. Know who are the people in the community. There are many sickly people in the community. Do we take the trouble of going to visit them? They're elderly people. There are people who are bereaved, people who are grieved, they are lost family, funerals and so forth. We should be so connected that everyone should know everyone. In the words of Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, and I would like to conclude on this, he said the city of Medina in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you have to imagine there were 10,000 people living in Medina at that time, just as an example, of course there were more. He said then every single individual out of the 10,000 knew
that there are 9,999 people who are so concerned about my welfare. Tomorrow if I get sick, I know there will be these so many thousand people to care for me. Tomorrow if I am afflicted by any kind of a problem or calamity or disaster, I know that there are 9,999 people who will come to my assistance. Tomorrow if I'm in any kind of a problem, I know there are 9,999 people who will lift their hands and make dua for me. And that's the last point. Wasallu bil layli wa nasu niyam. At night, read salah, offer salah. And what's the idea of offering the salah? Lift your hands after that, make dua for yourself, your family, and then make dua for your community and make dua for the entire ummah. If we live up to this little formula that was given to us by our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear friend, of course the result and the reward will be tadkhulul jannata bi salam. We'll have an easy, carefree entry into Jannah. We'll go directly into Jannah. There will be no transit point. Allah forbid. There'll be no transit point in our entry into Jannah. We'll have a direct flight. Everybody prefers a direct flight. If you have to transit somewhere, it's a headache to get off, get on, disembark, embark, and so forth. We want a direct entry. We want a direct flight. So the direct flight to Jannah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has offered us the ticket for it in these words. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant me, the speaker and the listeners, the ability to make amal and to practice on it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.